Home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. Happy Black Friday weekend. Happy post-Thanksgiving. I'm not going to pretend that you haven't eaten your turkey or that you're not doing what I'm doing, which is eating leftover cookies, because that's what I'm doing right now. My thanks to the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at GBMC for putting us out on the road. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is coming back at you. I have fresh dates. 2 weeks from now, we're doing three in a row. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're going to be at Costas for the holiday week with Gina Schock. I think I've corralled John Allen to come over. So we're going to have a rock and roll Christmas over at Costas and Dundalk. So come on out. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. It is. These have been luckier than the Ravens were on Thursday night. Luke Jones joins us now after they had an old song called, was it Short Sets, Long Breaks, Big Money? I would say. Bad games, holiday up all night, and now we got to get up and talk about what really was, I guess greatest fear would be that the Bengals come in with a healthy looking Joe Burrow and a Ja'Marr Chase back on the field, and the Chase brothers were a little bit too much, and I think also the mistakes. And I'll let you get at it because you witnessed it from the Kevin Byrne little press box in the corner there.
Yeah, I mean, look, did Joe Burrow come back and make some plays and look better than certainly Jake Browning or Joe Flacco had looked the last couple of weeks? Sure. I mean, that wasn't the story in this football game. The story in this football game was a Ravens offense that has not been trending in a good direction for quite a while. We talked about it a few weeks back. It's one thing, no shame in having some struggles against the Minnesota Vikings on the road. No shame, despite what we think about the Browns overall, no shame in having some struggles against that defense and Myles Garrett. And a guy who's going to be defensive player of the year, guy who looks like he's going to shatter the single season sack record. So those are a different animal, right? And we've talked a lot about Lamar's health. We've talked about the fact that Lamar hasn't played as well in recent weeks. But over a 5 day span, to play how they played against a Jets defense that was below average statistically, a bottom 10 kind of defense in terms of scoring and other efficiency metrics, and to manage 14 points and commit five turnovers against a defense that just using DVOA, but I can give you plenty of more conventional numbers if you'd like as well, but a defense that has looked like one of the worst the NFL seen through 12 games over the last 50 years. I mean, DVOA has them tracking, which I think Aaron Schatz could tell you this definitively, but I think it goes back to looking at 1978 and forward, that the Bengals were on track to be the worst defense in the history of tracking DVOA. And they scored 14 points, committed five turnovers. Yeah, they moved the ball some at times, and certainly, the likely play there were certain ways you could try to spin a positive out of it, but my goodness. I mean, that's as below the bar as it gets. I mean, this offense is a mess. This offense feels very broken at this point in time. And as much as we've talked about the offensive line, Lamar Jackson was horrible on Thursday night. I saw a few people, whether talking to others in the press box or seeing it on social media. And look, it's not about piling on, but just trying to contextualize that performance and thinking, when has Lamar looked that bad? I saw some people mention that his rookie year, the playoff game, right? I mean, where he committed turnovers against the Chargers and just looked overwhelmed. It wasn't quite that, but man, that was really bad. And I think the thing that was frustrating about it for me, beyond the level of what you thought the Bengals defense was, is I actually thought Lamar looked better physically when he took off. He looked better than he did against the Jets and the
He looked
Browns the
like he could
last
run
couple of weeks.
away for
A little bit,
he
right?
looked like
Maybe
a
not.
defense. Look, you challenged me. We got together on Wednesday and we did a pre-game piece. You're like, he could still run away from a lot of guys. And I felt like no defensive lineman was going to catch him last night, right?
Right.
Thursday night,
I
okay?
mean, he looked better at least. I'm not saying he looked 100%, but man, he didn't see the field. His
He didn't look
accuracy was
gimpy,
way off.
from my perspective. He didn't look like he didn't belong out there. He didn't look like he was John Wayne out there limping,
Yeah.
at all.
Yeah. So with that in mind, that should equate to them being way better. And we didn't see that. So the silver lining is that the season's not over, and Everything is still sitting right there for them. But I think on the heels of this 5-game winning streak, even with you and I saying over and over and over that the eyeball test wasn't matching, oh, this team's firing on all cylinders and they're humming and they've won 5 in a row and all that. I think there was still this perception because of how we feel about Pittsburgh and the rest of the AFC North. I think there was very much a perception that this is the Ravens division. After Thursday night, all bets are off. I mean, when you can't score points and do what you need to do offensively against the Cincinnati Bengals, what is that going to mean
At
against the
home,
Steelers? Right,
you couldn't
exactly. Well,
operate at home.
4 days after the same issues with the Jets, right? I mean, they didn't turn the ball over against the Jets. That was the only difference, right? But man, that was really, really disconcerting to see them play like that. And, I mean, the defense, think about, the defense, obviously they wilted on third down big time in the second half, that third quarter. I mean, Burrow and the Bengals just converted third down after third down, but that was only after a first half where they had to do some extraordinary heavy lifting inside the red zone to hold the Bengals to field goals on short fields. I mean, my goodness, they gave them the ball at the 2-yard line and they had a goal line stand, right? I mean, so, my biggest takeaway from the defense, one, Nate Wiggins got hurt. It sound the initial indication from John Harbaugh was that it's not like a multi-week season-ending kind of injury, anything like that. So, but that we know what kind of player he is. And my big takeaway from the defensive side was the pass rush and the pressure that seemed to be ratcheted up a little bit here the last few weeks, that kind of went away for the most part. And that was disappointing. Just knowing that you wanted to make Joe Burrow as uncomfortable as possible to test out that surgically repaired toe and all that. But, again, the story is the offense, and the story is a two-time MVP quarterback just not looking anything close to that. And, now multiple weeks of that. I mean, this is 3 straight games, Nestor, where Lamar has not thrown for a touchdown or run for a touchdown. And I get it. I mean, the Zay Flowers offensive pass interference call, plenty of people question that. Certainly likely. I mean, that should have been a touchdown for Lamar. Like, so, but it's more just an indicator of where this offense is right now, because how many games Lamar had in his career, not counting the first half of his rookie year, but number of games he'd had in his career without a touchdown pass or a
Less than
touchdown
10.
run,
Less than 10.
7
Yeah.
prior to these last 3. And 2 of those were the 2 games he let the Cleveland game in 21 when he got hurt and missed the rest of the year, and then the Denver game the following year when he got hurt and missed the rest of the year. So you're talking about 5 career starts he had where he started and finished and didn't have a
That's
touchdown.
less than 1 a year, and he's had 3 in a row.
3 in a row. And 3 in a row, 2 of those being against the Jets and the Bengals. So,
Dude, let's
man,
talk about the
it's.
offense for a minute in a couple of ways. First things, mistakes. Just in a general sense, last year it was penalties, right? Like Orlando Brown still stinks. I want to say that out loud, even if they won, even if he crowded his ass in to get some turkey last night. But the offensive line is a problem, right? And then there's the shuttle part of, well, we're gonna let Falele play, but we're gonna bench the other guy for a series, and we're gonna have Mike Tirico introduce the new guy, and then we're gonna bring the old guy in. And then in the end, none of them are plus players right now. And that includes Linderbaum, who, I thought was headed to the Hall of Matt Burke, for a while, right? Or at least a guy that we were gonna say, we've married the center and the quarterback. I'm not saying that's not over. I'm saying the guard play and the tackle play and the fact that they can't run the ball and the fact that Lamar's not healthy has probably not helped him, probably hasn't helped Rosengarten. It probably hasn't helped the head of Zay Flowers or Rashad Bateman, who was gimpy getting out there, or even Derrick Henry and Hopkins, who are here to win a championship. They're already got $100 million in the bank. Their bodies have hurt. They played on lousy team after lousy team after lousy team, and they're here to win. And now you're 6-6, and you and I are here on Black Friday questioning what they're going to look like against the Steelers next week, what they're going to look like against Cincinnati again 2 weeks from now, where New England's going to put them, where Green Bay's going to be. And whether they really are the best team in the division or not, they weren't on Thursday night at home. They weren't. They were not the best team in the division. They couldn't get out of their own way. But the mistakes, because I keep saying to myself, all right, if I'm a purple-birded optimist today and I'm a blame the referees guy and I'm a fire Harbaugh guy and I'm a racist that doesn't like Lamar and whatever I am, that I'm angry at the team or I want to throw bricks at them or cancel my PSLs or whatever it is, whatever that side of it would be, then there's the other side of, well, hey, that wasn't really a penalty on Flowers. That was a hell of a catch. It was a touchdown. It should have been, right? So you could go back through the referee calls, the bad calls, and say they did things. But Lamar getting stripped at the 2-yard line, and the Bengals didn't piss a drop. Lamar got stripped at the 2-yard line, and the Bengals didn't get a point out of it. So I look at some of the mistakes they made and said it could have been a lot worse than getting their ass kicked by three touchdowns. It could have been worse. But I can also play the optimist and say, all right, what's going right about this? The thing that's not right, Lamar is not throwing the ball accurately. And by the way, I know you didn't listen to the game because you were at the game. You're one of the lucky ones that Chad Steele lets in under the under the hood. I'm sitting at home with my cat watching the game on TV. Jason Garrett was really, really good. Not a good color analyst from a pacing standpoint because he doesn't do it. It's not what he does. But man, is he smart. And I got to hear the name Brill Garrett for the first time in 18 years. Brill Garrett, who was looking for a home in Ruxton at one point. I mean, Garrett would have been the coach of this team if he wanted to have been, which is, and now he's in the booth on Thanksgiving and I'm having, I'm having like Jason Garrett. He's too complimentary to be he's too nice. He is, but he's also really, really smart. And I had never listened to him for 3.5 hours call a football game like that. It was amazing when he talked about Lamar and Joe Burrow and patting the ball and taking care of the ball and him being a quarterback and a backup quarterback his whole life to one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, as well as his best friend and Troy Aikman. And then he ran a team with Tony Romo and like teaching quarterback mechanics. He was a clinic all night long on that stuff. He really was. And let's be honest, the quarterback's 94% of the game, right? Like literally on both sides. And so when he understands that part of the game and understands scheme and understands offense and understands, hey, my offensive linemen are tired. I mean, he had observations, dude. They should give him a gig. He was really, really good, man.
Well, I mean, I have nothing to add to that because I haven't had a chance to watch the telecast. I'll watch it over the weekend,
You'll
certainly.
learn a lot. Text
But
me when you're watching it and tell me that you didn't think he was really insightful and weirdly
I.
good. Weirdly
It
good.
it's it, it is funny that you mentioned that because generally speaking, as far as him on Football Night in America, I generally find him not to be very
Oh,
good in
it's
that
milky
setting.
toasty. It's
But
terrible. Yes, I agree.
when you're, regardless of the mechanics of whether you're John Madden, right? Meaning like you're engaging and colorful and entertaining and
Like
funny and
Romo
all
used
that.
to be the first couple of years until they
Right,
turned him
right.
down.
I was just gonna say, right? I mean,
Until they
until
screwed him up.
who Greg Olson's great, right? I mean, he's I think he's.
I don't hear him call games as much. I hear a lot of Brady for some
Well,
reason, you know?
he should have been. Brady replaced him, right, as
Yeah.
the number one guy. But any my point, when you are calling a game, it's long form. In the same way that like what I write at BaltimorePositive.com might be 800, 900, 1,000 words, whereas you and I could sit here and go back and forth in 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it ends up being, multiple segments. And so it's just long form. You can dig into it a little bit more. But I want to go back to just the state of the offense. And I think what's so concerning about this, I mean, look, the non-starter here, like Lamar has to be better, right? If he's not better, then they're not even going to make the playoffs because you've got five challenging enough games where you can't continue to expect to win games if you're going to play like that. And look, they turned it over five times. And to their, in the defense of the offense, even with them having scuffled, generally speaking, for weeks now, that hasn't been something they've done a ton of, right? I mean, last week they took care of the ball. In Minnesota, they took care of the ball. Cleveland, they did not take care of the ball, and we saw how that game was. But so assuming you can do that, assuming Lamar can get himself back on track to something, but not even talking about the MVP level, just like the typical, let's say like regular Lamar. But I do go back to the offensive line where you see all these issues with this offense. And I mean, there were plays to be made, right? I mean, they did make plays. I mean, the Isaiah Likely before he fumbles at the 6-inch line, I mean, that was a great play, right? Lamar had guys that were open at times, and he misfired. You know, there were, not a ton of drops, but you could find that. I mean, Devontae Walker stopped running on, what could have been a big play. I mean, like, there were times where Lamar had someone wide open and just didn't throw to him and tried to throw to someone else, right? So all of that, and I know a lot of people talked they should have run the ball more on Thursday night. And look, I'm not going to disagree with that, but at the same time, I'm also not going to sit here and be disingenuous and not say that this team hasn't had major issues running the ball at times this year as well, right? I mean, I know statistically it looks like a top five running game and all that, but we know down to down, drive to drive, quarter to quarter, game to game, this running game hasn't been nearly as consistent as it needs to be. But I do think for where they are right now, I wonder if you just need to swallow some pride collectively and say, for the time being, we might need to get back to a 2018, 2019 kind of mindset. I mean, even if the plays are there, like our quarterback's just off right now. And we don't know how much of it's physical, how much of it's mental.
But I don't know that you want him running 14 times
Well,
against the Steelers
well,
next week.
okay, but let me rephrase that a little bit. Sorry. I guess just the mindset of the running game really needs to drive this more. And maybe it's okay, you're running read option. Lamar's going to give it a little bit more than he would have in 2019 because of what you just said, right? I mean, obviously, but I guess my point is I don't, right? The last couple of years, with the way that he has improved pre-snap and in the pocket and scrambling and still looking downfield to throw and not just taking off and running, like he might have. Was more apt to do his first few years in the league. For the first time in a really long time, I'd say I don't think it's a great idea if your idea going into the game is that Lamar's going to throw it 35 or 40 times because he's just not playing like that right now. And that's not to say he won't in the future, and that's not to say he won't get back on track in the next week or two. I mean, boy, they'd love for him to get back on track this coming Sunday because it's a really big game. But I think just with where they are as an offense and even the offensive line with pass protection and understanding, you're going to be going up against the Steelers front, right? I mean, New England doesn't have a great defense, statistically speaking. But, when you go to Green Bay, Micah Parsons is going to be looming, right? So, but I just, the run's got to be a bigger, way bigger focus. And it's not like it hasn't been at all, right? And like I said, they've had their issues there. But I think what's just so concerning for me. When you look at the offense from the 30,000-foot perspective, I don't expect them to turn the ball over five times again. I mean, if that becomes who you are, I mean, like, no one wins when you turn it over five times a game. But where I am concerned as far as the warts that we're seeing here is, are you going to get this offensive line playing well enough to try to tighten up and fix some of these issues that you're having now across the board? And that's where it's so concerning. I mean, that, and you made the point. As much as we've talked about the O-line since, I mean, going back to the last couple of years, right? And even last year. But that's been such a big concern. Lamar's health has been a big concern here recently. But I think there's a cumulative impact here, right? And I think we're seeing that now with how Lamar is playing and how he's functioning from the pocket. And, whether the protection's not there or the protection is there and he's not trusting it, whether guys are open downfield or guys are open or not, aren't open downfield or they are open and he's just missing them or not seeing that, right? I mean, it's just they're springing a
He's
leak
not throwing the ball
somewhere.
well. I mean,
No,
he's
he's
not throwing the
not.
ball well.
I mean, he's just
That's
not.
really, I don't know if it's mechanics and Garrett spoke to that a little bit and not seeing the ball well or not feeling the pressure or having the clock inside of his head
Yeah.
back in the pocket because he's not a pocket quarterback. He's not naturally a pocket quarterback. He played that position for 15 years a completely different way. And the last 3 or 4 years, they've tried to turn him into that and make him that and have him pat the ball and have him stand still and not have him just take off, which it took him years to coach that out of him. And that's going to be to his benefit over the next 5, 7 years. when he's a 33-year-old quarterback or a
Sure.
35-year-old quarterback if he gets to that point. But he may never get the wheels back because we all don't. 29's not 22 anymore. So
Yeah.
he might not get the wheels back to be that dynamo. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have that. I mean, a lot of the guys, Steve McNair didn't have that by the time he got here, and he still won. I mean, Steve Young didn't have that at the end. Guys that were
Sure.
running quarterbacks at 23, when they're 30, they're just, Cam Newton was out of the game, right? I
Yeah.
mean, like, done. So thinking about Lamar as eternally 23 and eternally healthy, we have to think about him as being a real quarterback now and a $50 million quarterback that's a pocket quarterback, not the guy he was 4 years ago where he's going to run for 1,000 yards because you can't afford that. You just can't. He's going to get hurt. All the stuff I said 8 years ago and him playing hurt all year long. I don't know. I don't want to see Snoop Huntley. I don't want to see Joe Flacco be our backup quarterback, but the hurt quarterback through the season and trying to think you're going to get him healthy because I got 10 days off and it's going to get better when it's already not good. I mean, I start with the offensive line. I'm not here to persecute Lamar, who should be a three-time MVP,
The
right?
offensive line's still kind of the beginning of all of this, right?
Right.
I hear what you're saying, and it's not as though, first of all, we've talked a lot about the fact that he's banged up, and there's not going to, I don't have this assumption that that's going to be who he is the rest of his career, right? Guys get hurt. We've seen great, great quarterbacks over the years have injury-plagued years and not look as good, and then they bounce back. And yeah, I mean, and look, we talked about this when Lamar was 23 years old. We talked about this 3 years ago. We talked about this 2 years ago. We talked about this last year, right? There was always going to be an evolution for Lamar in the same way that there is for Josh Allen, in the same way there is for many of the other quarterbacks you talked about, right? And so, and yeah, okay, he's not going to be the electrifying, unbelievable athlete at the quarterback position that he was at 22 or 23 as he gets older. But that also doesn't mean that he just transforms into can't move whatsoever 40-year-old Joe Flacco overnight, right? I mean, it's a dial. I've talked about that a lot. And early in his career, the guy that I kind of pointed to at the time, even though now it kind of rings hollow because he's a backup and on his way out of the league at this point, when Lamar was doing what he did in 2018, 19, 20, at the time, I said, as he gets older, you want to see him become more like a Russell Wilson kind of quarterback who wasn't running for 1,000 yards or anything like that, but could still run plenty and still did what he needed to do and improved leaps and bounds as a passer. And Lamar's done largely done that, right? I mean, he didn't run for 1,000 yards last year, but he threw for over 4,000 and he had over 40 touchdown passes and was truly that next level dual threat quarterback that everyone was kind of waiting for him to become statistically, I suppose. But this year, when you have a lesser offensive line and you have a quarterback who, look, part of this was also, we talked about it at the time. No disrespect to Josh Allen. Lamar was MVP in my mind last year. I'll continue to say that, right? I mean, he, in the regular season, he was the best quarterback on the planet for my money. And that doesn't mean I think Josh Allen stinks or I'm disrespecting him. It's just my opinion on it. I have a PFWA vote, and the PFWA voted Lamar MVP last year. But point is,
Oh,
okay,
so you have our vote.
sure,
Oh, I didn't know.
for the PFWA. I mean,
Good.
the AP is the one that's recognized by the league because they do business with them, right? And that's the NFL honors and all that. Anyway, so. No, he wasn't going to have another year where he threw, what, 41 touchdowns and had four interceptions, right? I mean, that even Tom Brady didn't play like it was 2007 every single year of his career, right? I mean, that's, we understand that. But when you have an O-line that is really problematic at this point in time, and you have a quarterback who got banged up and hurt in back in what, week four, and came back. What's ironic about it is the best he's looked since returning was the second half of that Miami game, which is his first game back. I mean, he's, I don't want to say it's a straight line down since then, but it's been close to that. Like if you kind of looked at the trend line and just drew an oval or a circle around it, it would be trending pretty sharply downward, right?
You know, I
So
did think of something. I want to say this because we're going to talk 2 hours about the game, but When I saw Burrow out there in the second quarter slinging it around a little bit and looking like he was coming back to life and looking like he could go left, he could go right, I thought to myself, he's the only guy on the field that didn't get his ass kicked 3 days ago. And I thought to myself,
There's that part of it
yeah,
too.
I really did. I thought that as the game went on in third and fourth quarter, I'm like, he's the only guy out here. He's playing street ball. All the rest of these guys played 3 days ago and they're tired as hell and they've all been in a car crash. Like, I thought there was a benefit to that for him that I felt like Lamar just looked like he was cold and tired and under siege to some degree.
Maybe. I mean, but at the same time, like I said, I thought he looked better moving around than he did last Sunday. I mean, even like a difference of 4 days,
When he took
like you,
off in the first quarter, I would agree with you.
he
It looked
looked
like he could
okay.
run.
Like, yeah, like I did. The Jets game felt more physical, right? And he didn't throw the ball well in the Jets game. He didn't throw well in the Cleveland game. But those two games compared to Thursday night, that felt way more like, man, he's not there physically the way he needs to be. Thursday night felt more, and I'm not saying he was 100%. And as I said, I think there's a cumulative impact here to everything that's gone on from the beginning of the season till now.
Including how sore he is
That
today after playing two games in 4 days.
there's that, but I think this isn't just a Lamar thing. I think it's in the entire offense at this point. There's absolutely a between the ears element to this because of how this offense has trended now for a while, and I just. For me, I thought of his performance and the offense collectively was less about his physical injuries, limitations, whatever you want to call them, whatever he's been dealing with, right? I mean, hamstring, knee, ankle, toe,
I said it
whatever's going to
sounded
be
like a
listed.
kid's song that you'd sing to your niece.
Yeah, it's like
Ankles,
game of
knees, and toes.
operation.
Right,
Yeah,
yeah. There you go.
exactly. So, but that felt different on Thanksgiving night. Again, look, he fumbled twice. He threw an interception on another batted pass. And I do want to point this part out. And you alluded to this. Their offense was bad and also unlucky at some spots on Thursday night as well. I mean, that's a bad combination, you know, when it just,
Tip ball goes up right into their
yeah,
hands. Right.
like on a
Yeah.
play where like it was there if, you know, if they have it blocked up, you know, the guy was open on that play. So, I mean, there's just so much wrong with this offense right now. And I'm even less moved by the idea that, okay, the silver lining is that they moved the ball. They were in position to score more. Like you said, they could have scored way more points. I mean, if, you know, if Isaiah Likely holds on to the football, if Zay Flowers isn't dinged for an offensive pass interference that wasn't blatant, even if, you know, even if you're not going to sit here and say it was a terrible call. But at the same time, that's where I look at this and say, maybe I'd be a little more moved by that if they had 470 yards of offense or 500 yards of offense, knowing how horrendous this Bengals defense has been. But it's not like they were the greatest show on earth moving up and down the field either, right? I mean, it's just frustrating. I mean, it really is.
And
Like I
it's not like
said,
Derrick Henry's fat and old either, because when he gets in space, he rolls. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
and I don't
I
know that
think.
he's breaking tackles the way he did 10 years ago at Alabama,
Or
but.
even last year, right? I mean, like, look, if you want my honest opinion, I don't think Derrick Henry's been as good as he was last year. Now, that said, that is not Luke Jones saying he's washed up or anything like that. That's saying it's a little bit Derrick Henry. In the same way, when we talk about the offensive line or the play calling or what this guy's doing, I mean, Isaiah Likely, we haven't talked about him a whole lot. This has been an absolute bust of a contract year for him. Think about the money that he's cost himself to this point in the season. Now, it's not to say the Ravens won't re-sign him or he won't get a good deal wherever he winds up, right? But I think he had in his mind going into this season, and I think the foot injury in training camp was a huge part of this, obviously.
Well, he
But
thought he was going to be a
he thought he's
60-80
going to be
catch
like
guy.
and I
Yeah.
think he thought he was going to be a top five, top six tight end, you know, in terms of money, in terms of his contract, which, you know, I'm not saying he's not going to get signed and he's not going to be have interest. And I think the Ravens still want him back, all things being equal. But boy, what a disappointing season. And here he ends up early in this game. You're seeing that connection kind of come
Can
alive.
I ask you a question? They're 6-6. We and
Sure.
maybe we'll do this in the next segment. We'll take a
It's fine.
break, but Who is having a good season? Like
On
I just like that
offense?
anywhere on the team, on the team.
Kyle Hamilton's having a great year. Nate Wiggins is having a really good year.
Was at least until
Well,
now, man.
the early indication is that he's not like this isn't a season-ending thing. We'll see. I
All right,
mean, they
we're done
need him.
beating up on the offense. We'll take a
But
break.
to answer your
Go ahead.
to answer your question about the offense, I don't know. But because like Tyler Linderbaum doesn't stink by any stretch of the imagination. But has he been peak Linderbaum? I think it's because of the two guys flanking him. Ronnie Stanley's been more banged up. Rosengarten's been disappointing. I thought he'd be better. I mean, look at the other than Zay Flowers, who, by the way, has a ball security issue at this point. I mean, he's multiple fumbles from a wide receiver in a season. No bueno. I mean, that can't
Well, he
happen.
runs out in the open and he's a small guy. So that's
Well, and
and they're all coming
he
with that.
tries to go as much as you love his lateral east-west quickness, that gets him in trouble at times as well. There's no question about that. But to answer your question, on offense especially, boy, it's kind of the shrug man emoji at this point in time for those who aren't watching us on YouTube, because you asked the question. I don't really know, Ness. I mean, I don't. When you're talking about who's having a good year on this offense right now, it's, relative to the rest of the league, sure, there are guys having good years, but relative to last year and expectations going into 2025, man, it's not an impressive list, especially on the offensive side of the football.
He's Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke out on the interwebs. My thanks to our partners and sponsors at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter for bringing us through the holiday here. It is a Black Friday weekend. We have a sale on sports radio here. We're giving away free Maryland Lottery scratch-offs at the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be picking that back up. We're going to be at Honey's in Halethorpe. We're going to be at Fadley's downtown. We're going to be at Costas in Dundalk. And we're also going to be back at Coco's in Lauraville all during the holidays. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at GBMC. Appreciate all the emails and all of the reaches. So many people have reached to me about the colonoscopy thing and precancerous polyp that was removed from me last week by the GBMC team. I am grateful. I am alive. I'm planning on using my time wisely here during the holiday season. Luke and I are going to talk some defense. We're going to talk some special teams. We're going to talk about taking 10 days off. We're going to talk about sitting around watching football all weekend. And we're going to continue to talk turkey. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We're WNST AM 1570 Towson Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.